Welcome to the Kaiju Pod. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we're talking about Godzilla GMK All Out Monster Attack. Is that what it's called?
Shit. Giant Monsters All Out Attack.
Yeah, it's kind of a mouthful. Especially the title card that says all the names, like, fully.
Yeah.
So it's Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters All Out Attack.
Right.
So right off the bat, I like the opening credits, where it's just like close-up of monster skins. I don't know why that is, but I like that.
I didn't get that. It starts with a history lesson. The guy just kind of giving a speech. It's like the from 1954 on, it's like... Or he's talking about basically the 1954. It's like this is the equivalent of like a Star Wars crawl for him.
Uh-huh. But it's weird how they just kind of throw out canon.
Yeah.
Because they just like don't like this happens a lot where they don't acknowledge any other Godzilla movie. They usually just tend to say that it only happened once.
Yeah.
Like I think that happened in Godzilla against Mechagodzilla.
Right. They like to just refer to the original.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also had some issues with the guy's facial hair for such a guy so far up in the military.
It was like a Jack Sparrow goatee?
Yeah. It was a little... I was like... You never see a military guy with facial hair. That's not like, you know, from the 1700s. Hundreds. It's really weird to see, and it just kind of like I always felt like it was just kind of like a choice to make him cooler.
I have no idea. Maybe that's allowed in the military.
Oh, I did send me down a little bit of a googling rabbit hole, but I didn't get an answer. But I did. I just found articles that were just kind of like essentially how basically facial hair in general and how it's. Like, the goatee is kind of, like, the only really acceptable facial hair, it seems like. Mm-hmm. It's basically the people commenting on Japanese culture, so I don't know if they're authorities or not. So it was just kind of, like, it just made me go, like, I was, like, I think, like, it's kind of, like, I was, because I always go to, like, the idea of, like, Disneyland rules as to, like, what's allowed. And it's like, I go, does the military allow facial hair in Japan?
Disneyland does now.
Yeah, well.
So, speaking of Star Wars, I noticed that there's a couple of wipes in this movie that are very Star Wars-like.
Oh.
Which I thought was kind of weird. Mm. Especially since this is like a... This movie's kind of like really serious.
Right.
I forgot how serious it was. I remember the last time I watched it thinking that... remembering that it was mostly like magic-centric, which is weird seeing how serious it is and then how magical it is at the same time. Like, you're trying to do a serious storyline, but you introduce magic, and then it's like, am I supposed to take this seriously?
Right. It was also felt serious just because Godzilla himself seemed really mean in this one.
He's just brutal.
And really, and they didn't give him any pupils.
Yeah.
Like, he looked like he had cataracts, or he was, like, blind. Mm-hmm. And it just to kind of make him scarier. He also had, like... Seemed to have like two particularly long fangs on the sides of his mouth.
Yeah, kind of vampire-like.
Yeah,
I think the overall design looked kind of cartoony. Like he was really like kind of like bulky and like kind of rounded. I don't know how to explain it.
Felt. Yeah, and but his face also had like this flattened front. Mm-hmm. Like he kind of gave him like an alligator head.
I like the design. I don't think they use this in any other Godzilla movie.
I don't remember ever seeing this particular Godzilla specific. Yeah, I mean, the white eyes. It was just so like disturbing for me.
I guess they wanted to like make sure that you didn't think he was a good guy or something, because he definitely at no point in the movie was a good guy.
Right.
He was pretty evil through and through. So the title mentions Godzilla, Mothra and King Ghidorah. Like, do you think like Baragon needs a better agent? Because Baragon's in this a lot, and I feel bad that Baragon wasn't mentioned anywhere. I guess the title was long enough, but still.
Yeah, I mean, I think because it's the people who make it to the end, the big end fight is really what it's about.
I don't know if you looked this up. I didn't look it up. I probably could have. But do you know if, like, motorcycle gangs are a big deal in Japan? Because
I think only in movies.
Because they just show up with no explanation. So I just assumed, oh, this is like a regular occurrence.
Right. Well, first I was like, wait a minute. This gang's outfit are pink lab coats.
Yeah. It seems so specific. I was like, I wonder if this is a thing.
Yeah. And like, it's like this older couple that go parking.
Uh-huh.
And then all those guys drove up and just start harassing them in the car.
Yeah.
It just became a thing. And I was like, uh-oh, more ruffians.
Yeah. But these guys are really a-holes. And they wanted to let you know they were a-holes because they tried to drown a dog.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
right.
Which I forgot about. And I was like, oh, man, Jorge's not going to like this.
No. And the dog still drowned.
The dog's okay.
Is he okay?
Yeah. They showed
him at the end?
In the news footage. You see the dog in the crate, and like one of the investigators is petting it on its head, and it's got a smile. So the dog
they had to add that later because they're like, "Oh wait, we didn't account for the dog."
The dog was in a sealed box with a statue in it. I was like, "That's really messed up." Like, I'm already okay with these people getting killed by a monster.
Yeah, I'm looking at my notes, and my notes said, "What the fuck is going to do that dog?" And then after the thing flipped over, I go, "Where's the dog?"
Yeah, if you look at the news footage after, the dog's okay. Because I was making up excuses on how the dog survived, but it didn't seem like it added up. Because all they needed to do was to toss it over the side of the boat, and then the boat capsized.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I assumed the dog. But yeah, in the news footage, they show the dog in the crate on land with an investigator.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. But it's still such a weird, weird choice. Considering, like, it's weird because, like, they're trying to set this really serious tone, but then there's stuff like pee jokes in it.
Yeah.
Which is really weird. Like, there's a dude trying to pee in a urinal, and then, like, Godzilla's stomping through the town, and he can't aim into the urinal right. And you're like, oh, that's kind of silly. And then the guy gets crushed by Godzilla's foot.
Yeah, that's the one where the foot came down and it kind of was reminiscent of Bambi versus Godzilla.
Yeah.
It's just foot.
Yeah, where they did a little projection in the window to make it look like the guy was in there, which was kind of a cool effect. But it was like, I don't know, like, if these jokes work because you just try to drown a dog like 5 minutes ago. It's such a... I was surprised. I forgot how serious this movie was.
There's also the guy with the long hair.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just like, all right, this is just a guy with long hair, because the amount that he touches it and looks at it in the movie.
There's one point where it looks like he's adjusting it like it's a wig. And I was like, I'm not getting this joke either.
It's like, yeah, there's a part, well, first, early on, there's like this like news producer who comes on. And I was like, oh, he's got interesting hair. It's like, it's kind of different. It's like a little curly and a little blonder, a little, little lighter. And then comes this guy who's just sitting at his desk with the cigarette in his mouth. And he's doing this thing with his hair. And then suddenly he looks at his hair and he's like shocked about something about it. But we don't specifically know what exactly is the deal.
I feel like between that and like the motorcycle gang and stuff, like it feels like there's inside jokes that I missed out on. But I don't know. I tried following. I know we don't really discuss the plots too much. I tried to follow this one. I don't know if I could really follow it as far as like the mystical stones go.
The little statue things?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what. I feel like maybe their job was maybe to keep Godzilla at bay, but the people kept breaking them and stuff. I wasn't sure. Yeah, it gets... Yeah, when we get into the mythology, especially in the big fight at the end, there's a lot that I was like, hang on, because there's some parts where I kind of went and looked up, I was looking it up on like one of the like Godzilla wikis, and there's something that happens according to the plot that I was like, wait a minute, is that really what happened? Because I don't remember it. Yeah, I think we should save it for when
okay.
I should start discussing that. I actually had a little bit of a Lost flashback watching this one.
Uh-huh.
Because that part at the beginning when they have to, when you have to act an earthquake.
Oh, okay.
In like a low budget thing, and you just kind of be like, whoa, whoa, and shake the camera, essentially, is what the thing was. That it reminded, because that was a period of time in, I had at one point for my job. But then right after that, there's a shot of the old man in the forest from the distance.
Mm-hmm.
And then they look again, he's disappeared. And I was like, ooh, that, I actually got that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. Like a Christian Shepherd kind of thing.
Yeah.
That dude cracked me up because he was wearing like a horse riding helmet, like a polo helmet. And I don't know why, but it just reminded me of the tour guides at Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know why he was wearing that helmet, but it made me laugh. There's a dude that's like gonna hang himself in the woods.
Yeah.
Did you? I like that's another thing. Was like, do I need to rewind this? Did I miss who that guy was, or is he just a random guy?
Yeah, I felt like I missed. I missed if they had introduced him earlier too. But also on top of that, he wants to kill himself, but then suddenly he's so scared and he wants to live.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to die at the hands of a monster.
Well, he tries to hang himself with his tie.
Right.
Why does he take the tie off? He could just leave it on and then just use the part that's hanging, I guess.
Oh, anyway. That's interesting. interesting. But yeah. He reties his tie later. Later he's got his tie on. Really, like, he kind of puts himself back together again.
But then he falls in the Ghidorah hole and he freaks out. But it was kind of tough to make out what was going on down there. Because it was like Ghidorah was like in behind ice or like in that amber, like in Jurassic Park or something.
Right.
So it's like trying to make out the eyes and stuff. I couldn't make out anything. But since I knew Ghidorah was down there from seeing the movie before, I didn't really think too much of it. Did you know what was in there? Could you figure it out?
As to what he was encased in?
Or just what you were seeing. Like when that guy fell down and started freaking out.
No. No. It felt more like he was freaking out about that he was in a hole. Than anything. I do like the drill missile.
Yeah, and what's stupid is I completely forgot about it. Like, they set it up at the beginning. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then it never even occurred to me that...
I like how the label's in English.
There's a lot of stuff. There's, like, barriers that said, like, keep out.
Yeah.
In English. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. But it never occurred to me that, oh, yeah, they can probably use that against Godzilla. Maybe I was too distracted by all the other stuff that was going on. Speaking of Godzilla... We get, as soon as he shows up, pretty much as soon as you see him for the first time, he shoots his fire breath, which you sort of start seeing it, and then it cuts to a classroom where they like see a flash of light and everybody looks out the window and there's like a mushroom cloud.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was nuts.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about like Shin Godzilla being like the most powerful fire breath we've seen, but to create like an atomic blast, I think that's... It only happened that once, but it seemed like it may have been too much, but it was kind of cool to see.
It also, he could kind of bend it in this movie. I mean, I don't know if that's just the way they kind of have to correct if one suit isn't quite in the line of fire. There's a part at the end when, you know, King Ghidorah is up high and it's kind of like swooping up towards him.
I saw that too, and I wasn't sure if that was his beam going, because if you look at the cityscape on the bottom, it's like it's kind of a fisheye lens, so the cityscape's kind of warped like that too.
Oh.
So I don't know if they're trying to be like kind of clever with the thing, but it was coming out of his mouth and it was bending kind of up to the other side of the frame. But there were some parts where he was shooting at planes or helicopters and something where it looked like it bent as he moved. I couldn't tell if he was bending it or if it was... But that's something that would happen in the 70s a lot, where it's clear that the aim wasn't right, so they had to just animate kind of wherever. Yeah.
There's something I like about the monsters that walk on four legs. Yeah. That fact that you can see the knees, you can make out the guy's knees.
Yeah. I really like Baragon.
Baragon is really... Baragon is cool looking. The ears are so weird.
Yeah. I think in earlier movies, they pop up like... really crazy. And this one, it was more of a subtle thing. Like, they would only pop up when he, like, yelled. But I really...
Right. When he was particularly... Yeah. When he's doing his thing. He's kind of a cross, but he's like I don't know.
Angulus and...
He's like a horny toad, elephant, or like Stitch. It's got,
I could see that. But that's, you know what though? I like, those are the kind of monsters I like. Like, I like the monsters that are just monsters. They're not like just a giant version of blank. Like, that's why I like King Ghidorah, because he's not like
he's not a thing that exists in a small version. You mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, I do like the big insects, though.
Yeah, they're cool too. But there's something about Baragon where it's like, oh, he's not necessarily like a rhino, but he kind of has that in there.
Right. He's like a one-horned triceratops.
Yeah.
There's a part where I thought it sounded like they referred to Ghidorah as an eight-headed dragon.
Oh, really?
That it just like one person says at one point, and I was like, did I just mishear that? Listen, there's some of these things that I feel I mishear things. And then I go, oh, wait a minute. And I have to go check it. But it sounded like they had said that he was an eight-headed dragon. And it also kind of, in a way, seems like if it's possible that, like, if Ghidorah is based on the word for Hydra, I thought that could also be a possibility. Hmm. But, yeah, I thought I'd caught that watching it this time.
You mentioned in an earlier episode how King Ghidorah, his necks are always kind of flopping around.
Yeah.
And what was kind of cool in this one is they shortened them.
The big close-up when he brings his head up and stuff, I was like, wow, this Ghidorah looks, the of all the Ghidorahs that I can remember seeing, this is the one that looks the most almost like he could have been made by like the Jim Henson Creature Factory.
Uh-huh.
It definitely seemed like the most, you know, he's also kind of like the cutest in a way, like when he comes up with the close-up on his head.
Yeah, there was something about all the monster designs that I felt they were, I don't, like I said, I don't know if I would say cartoony, but like, it's really hard to describe, but like Ghidorah has gums and teeth and it's all very like clean looking. It doesn't look like it's scaled down, like it doesn't look like it's scaled to look big. It looks like just a regular size puppet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to describe. It just looks like, I don't know. They look chunkier, I guess. Like they're
thicker.
Something, yeah. They're almost like caricatures.
When you first see when Godzilla first emerges in this one, they definitely focus on his thickness. It seems at the start for sure.
So the last couple of movies we watched, Godzilla Tokyo SOS and Godzilla Against Mechagodzilla, we had like those guys like walking through buildings.
Yes.
This one, Godzilla walks through a mountain. He just kind of kicks the middle of the mountain out and sends a bunch of rocks towards Baragon and just like kind of walks through it. But I don't know what they used for like the miniature trees and rocks and stuff. I thought it looked really cool though.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was one shot where it looked like a helicopter shot going over mountains. And then it like revealed that it was like a miniature, and I was like, oh wow, that's really good. And there's some really good shots, like the miniature work in this, I think, was really, really good.
There's this part where he throws Baragon, and Baragon's flying in slow motion, but the people below him are running in real time.
Yes.
Does he land on his face?
I think he lands on his back. No, he lands on his
face. I wrote smash face. Don't know what that meant.
So after he's flying in slow motion towards the camera and people are running in regular motion.
Yes.
He's up on that ledge and he gets up and he starts running at Godzilla and he dives for Godzilla. And it's this POV shot going towards Godzilla's face. And right before the camera gets to Godzilla's face, he ducks down and hits Baragon with his tail and launches Baragon through the air and he lands on his face. And that was awesome. He just hits it like a baseball. Boop. And then but one of my favorite lines, because there's a lot of good lines in here, which don't fit this movie because it's so serious. But when Baragon first meets up with Godzilla and Godzilla kicks out the mountain, one of the dudes says, "I think the monsters are gonna fight, sir." And then the other guy says, "Are you sure?"
Yeah, I wrote that down too.
I enjoy that because we've been saying it for a while. Like, we just assume the monsters are going to fight each other. And they're not. They never really end up just being friends.
Is there a part where they go, listen, we better label all these monsters so we know what we're talking about?
Yeah, because one guy sees Baragon and yells Godzilla because he doesn't know any better.
Well, he says, Godzilla's kicking the red monster in the gravel pit.
Yeah.
And the other guy says, I can't watch. Like, I was like, how can you not watch?
Yeah, it's not like these like burning people alive or something.
And I was joking that the gravel pit was like a euphemism for the nuts.
Yeah, because Godzilla was kicking them like kind of in the stomach area repeatedly.
So when Baragon, now the moment you mentioned where Baragon jumps and he hits him with his tail.
Yeah,
this is different from when he hits him into the helicopter.
You know what? This is when he gets hit into the helicopter. Yeah, because those are the news guys.
And burns his butt.
Yes.
Yeah, that's.
What? I don't know if this is a quote. I have this on my notes. It says that lizard picked on the wrong guy.
Is that a quote?
Is this a quote? Okay,
I wrote it down here. That lizard picked on the wrong guy here. That is, yeah. I don't have the context. I definitely wrote that as well.
Yeah.
It's also like one of the movies where like the audience knows more than the people in the movie.
Uh-huh.
You know, like everyone's like, oh, I don't know. There's a big cocoon. I don't know what's going on here.
Uh-huh. Which I guess in this case. Since Godzilla hasn't attacked since 1954, this would be the first appearance of Mothra.
And this was the larva bigger this time?
I think it seemed about right.
Oh, okay, you're the Mothra
because it tipped over that boat.
Yeah, and the Jaws moment.
Yeah, which was good, but I wanted to see that little dog on Mothra's back, so we knew that the dog was saved.
Oh, you know, it was another great Godzilla kill is the lady in the hospital. She's in the hospital. She's scared and she's freaking out because Godzilla's walking by the hospital.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes by and she's like, oh, phew. And then his tail swings and just destroys the hospital.
That's what's so weird about this movie. It's such a weird tone because it's like terrified. Everyone's like completely terrified out of their mind, but like things are kind of silly.
Yeah, there's another part where the kid asks them, are monsters real?
Yeah, does she say only the guardian monsters? Or, like, it's clearly on the news.
Yeah, I know.
Like, and the ground has been shaking for, like, a couple days. And if you look out the window, you could probably get your answer. And wait, wasn't he in, like, a makeshift hospital, right?
Yeah.
Getting treated. Like, what does he think he's in there for?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought the Mothra hatching, when Mothra finally hatched from the cocoon, I thought it looked really cool.
This was the toughest Mothra I think we'd seen.
Because it did more than shoot sparkles.
He shot stuff. She shot like stuff spikes out of his abdomen.
Yeah, like crazy spike.
Yeah.
Which I think was something that happened in like the NES game.
Oh, really?
Mothra had some sort of attack that was similar to that. But I don't know if I've seen that before. Usually he just shoots the glitter or uses his wings to create like gusts of wind, but this was like a ton of spikes.
And it took a while though. There's a part where they said, oh, it's attacking Godzilla, but it took a little longer for the attack to actually happen. It's like any minute now he's gonna there we go.
Yeah,
that told you it was gonna happen.
And it was like there was like this weird moment. It was kind of like fan service. When Mothra first showed up, they would like focus on these two girls at a shopping mall.
Yes.
It was like their version of the Mothra twins, but it wasn't. It's kind of really weird.
Oh, I didn't catch that. That's what they're doing.
That's what I assumed, because they really focused on those two girls who were shopping during a all-out monster attack. Good luck, everyone. You're going to die. That's another line I had. It was another like butthole teenager saying that to like the military people going to fight the monsters.
Mm.
Whoever the director was or whoever the writer was really has a thing against teenagers. Teenagers are really jerks in this movie.
Yeah. Definitely felt like the kind of like in old 60s movies.
Yeah.
Where like they would show like motorcycle gangs and like this is what's wrong with America now kind of stuff.
Uh-huh. It was very weird. It's very weird. Motorcycle gangs. I don't know if that even exists anymore.
Motorcycle gangs?
Yeah. Not like this.
Well, no, not like that. I don't know if they exist like this. If they ever existed like this.
Where they're just pestering people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's right. It's just like,
Jesus, my buddies were in there. Did you write that down?
No.
Godzilla blows up a building, and one of the army guys on the ground says that.
Godzilla really obliterates people in this. Like,
yeah.
He destroys them where there's, like, nothing left.
Yeah, I actually have the word obliterated in my notes.
Yeah. And so, this thing of the magic at the end, I got a little... So, according to this plot that I had read, Mothra's spirit merged with Ghidorah.
Yeah.
And transformed him into King Ghidorah.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that he wasn't King Ghidorah before and just was regular Ghidorah. Uh-huh. What is the difference?
His body didn't really change much. So Mothra explodes into dust.
Right.
And the dust flies into Ghidorah. And right. then when it kind of covers Ghidorah, Ghidorah has these huge wings that pop out, and his necks are longer, and he's like crazy looking. But then after that moment, he kind of just goes back to looking the same as before. So it didn't really make sense. Like, I'm like, oh, it's like a souped up Ghidorah, but he really didn't change much after that.
Okay.
Because the wings, because when he first merges, like, the wings are, like, huge. They, like, go across the whole frame, and, like, his heads are, like, long like we know it. And I thought that was kind of cool looking, but it like, immediately went away.
So, yeah, I didn't catch that. They're like, oh, a 3,000-year-old dragon. And then it was, yeah. And I was like, what? I don't know what just happened. Like, it was like the Popeye spinach moment, it seemed like, but I didn't get.
But and apparently Baragon's in there somewhere, because Baragon gets obliterated also.
Yeah.
Baragon just turns into glitter dust. Mothra turns into glitter dust. When King Ghidorah gets exploded, he does not turn into glitter dust. He explodes into, like, a huge fireball, and then, like, a million of just, like, guts and stuff just fall into the harbor. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was nuts. I was like, oh, that's cool. I haven't seen that before. But there's just one part that I like where Godzilla's like biting into the neck of King Ghidorah. And there's like blood, there's like blood coming out of the neck, like a vampire.
Yeah.
And then as he's doing that, Mothra flies up behind, and Godzilla just boom swats her with his tail. I think the fights were really cool.
Yeah, I like the fights too.
They're like really kind of brutal. They're like more brutal than normal. And then I thought all the model work was really, really well done. There's like one point where Godzilla kind of gets, I don't know if it's when he gets shot with Mothra spikes, but he kind of like crashes into the side of a building, and the building kind of still stands and just kind of crumbles under his weight. I thought that was pretty cool. And I like that they set the camera on the ground a lot,
mm-hmm.
which is something that they did in, I think it was the 2014 Godzilla movie that Gareth Edwards did. He's like, I want the cameras to be where a camera could be.
Oh, okay.
And so this kind of did the same thing, where if it's like an aerial shot, they dropped in like helicopter sounds and stuff, which I thought was kind of cool. I mean, it adds to whatever realism it could add to.
One thing I'm starting to kind of feel might be a pattern to keep an eye out for is the people who go on suicide missions but come back and survive them.
I thought for sure the dad was dead.
Well, right, because I mean, I thought he's bound, he has to die, because she said, you know, promise you'll come back alive, and he said, of course I will. I was like, oh, okay, they gotta kill him now.
Yeah.
Because they said that.
Yeah, it reminded me of the end of Armageddon.
Yeah.
And then he like sees a vision of her where she's talking to him while he's in the sub.
Right. Right, but that's because, like, but it's also kind of like, because at the moment she was kind of unconscious, so it was kind of like
astral projection.
Yeah.
You know what I liked about this, which is different than, like, how we were talking about Shin Godzilla, how they just stuck stuff in his mouth. But right. I like this where the sub, like, actually goes into his mouth.
Yes.
And then Godzilla swallows it, but he's, like, floating around like a pill.
Yes.
And I thought that was...
That you see the inside of Godzilla.
Yeah. I really like that.
Yeah, I like that too. And I like the problem that Godzilla suddenly has when he makes a hole in the side of his like at the base shoulder? Of his neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it messes his breath up.
Yeah, he goes to fire his breath at the daughter at her producer guy.
And it shoots sideways.
It shoots sideways out of the back of his shoulder blade.
That was cool. And I was like, oh, and his brain is just too small to realize how to change position. Yeah. So he can actually still use it.
Well, he's probably in shock.
Yeah, it's because like you still see the glow inside his mouth, but it can't get it to shoot.
Because okay, let's say you're gonna go to the bathroom and you're gonna go pee, and then all of a sudden it came out of your shoulder, like, how you wouldn't be just like, oh, here, let me just aim my shoulder into the toilet. You'd be like freaked out. You'd be like, what? And then before you know it, it's too late.
Well, because he tried twice. And then, what also could have been good would have been if something else got shot by accident. That was unintended. Like if he hit another helicopter because it was like flying by.
Just flying by. The same news crew in the helicopter, but they have headbands on. Their heads are wrapped in bandages. Like they survived it.
Yeah.
I really like that. Like I forgot that happened, and I liked it.
And also, he's got a really cool when he finally like gets out of his his ship and he's walking back. He's got that kind of like that Chuck Yeager walk from The Right Stuff.
Uh-huh.
He's walking away from a smoking vehicle, you know. Uh-huh. That was cool.
And then he says that he can't go and hug his daughter because of the radiation.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, how much radiation does your body have after you've been inside Godzilla? It's got to be a lot, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. And then the professor had been dead all along.
Dad, what was that something just added in the American version or something? It's such a weird,
I don't know.
It's such a weird dialogue that the old man never existed.
Yeah.
Even though he was kind of incarcerated, it didn't make any sense. I think it was unnecessary.
And that guy, by the way, that actor has done a lot of Godzilla movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's the ones that went looking. He's in All Monsters Attack and Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah and Godzilla vs. the Sea Monster.
All Monsters Attack, the one we're watching, or we watched for next week or next episode?
Yes.
Is he? Oh, okay. Oh, I'll have to find out which one he is. Did you see the post? Well, I guess it wasn't a post-credit scene, but like the little stinger at the end?
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Do you think Godzilla could regenerate just from...
Well, I mean, I think that's what they're trying to suggest. that his beating heart can somehow make a new lizard around him.
Is it just pumping seawater? It's got to be pumping seawater.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just pumping blood within itself.
I don't think that's how...
Oh, but... Right.
Because you can see the arteries.
It doesn't matter. Because I guess seawater. I don't know. Godzilla doesn't have gills, but he can breathe underwater. So, no. Uh-huh.
That's what I liked about the 2014 design. It had gills.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was funny that there's all those fish kind of hanging around Godzilla's heart at the bottom of the ocean. And then it beat it, and then they all, took off.
Yeah.
But I think the next movie after this was Godzilla against Mechagodzilla, so it really has nothing to do with this or the beating heart. I think it's just kind of a fun, you know what we haven't done yet at the end of a Godzilla movie?
we haven't done the question mark.
The movie as a movie I thought was okay, but I really liked the monster fights.
Yeah, I like the monster fights too. I like the monster, yeah.
And I know I'm not, super attentive, when it comes to the plot.
Yeah.
But I feel like even if I was, things still wouldn't make sense. Like, I don't think ultimately the stones played any part in it.
Yeah, it definitely gives the feeling like, I feel like I missed something in this one for sure.
Yeah.
But
definitely check it out for the monster fights.
Yeah, I'm just kind of, going through what I still have written down here. I liked the claw marks on the submarine at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
That was a cool looking thing when they're going down there and looking at the bottom. I thought it was funny comparing basically when they're going to try and do that report for their little
their web series
paranormal show. And her selling point to them was witch tourism in America, uh-huh. Which I was surprised. I thought also I was the 14-year-old boy in me was laughing really hard at the guy in the blanket saying it had a big head and a big mouth.
Yes.
Because his hands are shaking off camera. And it's like, all right, where are your hands? Show me your hands.
It has a big head and a big mouth.
Yeah, and that just puts you when you get in that mood, that just becomes the mood you're in. So it's like, oh, you're drunk, man. You're drunk again. I'll make some coffee and run a bath. What do you need to give your daughter a bath for? And they had soup for breakfast.
Yeah.
Just like in hotels when that cater to Japanese people, there's soup for breakfast and shredded radish.
I'm not a fan.
I was like, that's good.
Yeah, shredded radish. Not a fan. So this is probably, you're kind of lately been on a quest to find your favorite Godzilla movie. This probably isn't.
Did not make it.
No. Yeah, but this definitely has some of my favorite fights. I think it has some really good moments as far as the fighting goes, and I think the effects are kind of.
I mean, I enjoyed the Godzilla Baragon fight way more than I enjoyed the final fight.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And also, it was just kind of raw, like more raw. Yeah, the word rawer sounds really weird to say. But I just like two guys in suits just really duking it out.
Yeah, and I like a fight during the daytime, that kind of like weird fake blue sky backdrop.
And I like when the monsters have eyelids that blink, you know, when they do close up their heads and their heads have little things that they do. I like that a lot.
Where the eyes shift back and forth, like left, right, left, right. And then
but it's like when you sit, it's like you just got to accept monster designs as like, all right, we need to come up with a new monster. And so some guy just designs one and goes, it looks like this. Okay, good. Because you sit and you kind of imagine it, that there's no, you don't require to have it from like an evolutionary standpoint. So you're trying to figure out, how did Baragon get those ears?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, he does kind of live underground.
What do they do? Yeah, for that purpose. Yeah, I guess there's some big, like those kind of like tunneling mice that have really big ears
because it's dark down there and they can't see, so they probably rely on hearing.
And I think it might be to hear what's going on the surface. I guess we can find a way to explain it.
And the horn.
It's got to help him dig.
Yeah,
and for defense.
when he jumps at Godzilla face first.
I like that book, that old book that had all those pictures of the monsters in it.
Like those drawings, the ancient drawings of the.
But there was this thing monsters. when the guy said that, I think we got to name these guys. It seemed like they were making these names up for them.
But
like
they're in the book, right, though?
They are in the book, but I don't know if those people ever were in the same place. It seemed like they were like going, we got to come up with names for these guys.
Uh-huh.
Like the kind of like the way that in Pacific Rim, where they're like, as they would come out of that thing, they would give them a name so they knew how to refer to them. It seemed like that, but I was like, wow, they're naming them very correctly so far.
But they refer to Baragon as Red Monster more than Baragon.
Yeah, well, that was afterward that they said, we got to come up with a name, I guess, to call it something.
And then Mothra makes sense. All right.
It's a combination of moth and rah. But yeah, that's what I got for that one.
Yeah, me too. I'm out of notes. Next episode, we're going to be talking about Godzilla's Revenge, also known as what is it? All Monsters Attack. What was it? I keep forgetting.
Yes, yes.
And then so that'll be in 2 weeks, and I forgot to bring it up. How was your birthday?
It was great. We just kind of like, nothing too crazy.
Mm-hmm. Get any Godzilla toys or anything?
I must have.
All right, until next time, you can go to Kaiju.
That's like even more inside than just doing the idea of doing this podcast is.
Yeah. Kaijupod.com. That'll give you links to all our episodes, as well as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And until next time, I'm going to be obliterated into chunks.
And I'm going to convert to dust and I don't know.
Merge with Ghidorah. All right.